Over 3 years after he invaded his neighbours, Vladimir Putin was warmly welcomed to the US by Donald Trump on Friday to a summit which produced no ceasefire, no sanctions, no rebuke or any public questions. Overnight, a blunt message on social media from Trump to the Ukrainian president. No getting back of Crimea, no getting into NATO, you can end the war if you want to. Russian attacks on Ukraine continued over the weekend. Steve Witkoff, a US special envoy who was in Alaska on Friday, told US media yesterday that Russia had agreed to allow the US and Europe to give Ukraine robust security guarantees as part of a potential peace deal. Today, Volodymyr Zelensky travels to the White House, backed by several European leaders, to emphasise the importance of any deal agreed with Russia to their security and to try and avoid a repeat of the dressing down he got the last time he met with Donald Trump in Washington. Here's the Ukrainian president after his meeting with some of those leaders over the weekend.
First, we have to stop the killings. Putin has many demands, but we do not know all of them. And if there are really as many as we heard, then it will take time to go through them all. It's impossible to do this under the pressure of weapons. So it's necessary to cease fire and work quickly on a final deal. We'll talk about it in Washington. Putin does not want to stop the killing, but he must do it.
The US Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, denied that European leaders were coming to stop Zelensky being bullied at the White House.
This is such a stupid media narrative that they're coming here tomorrow because Trump is going to bully Zelensky into a bad deal. We've been working with these people for weeks on this stuff. They're coming here tomorrow because they chose to come here tomorrow. We invited them to come. The president invited them to come.
Ivana Klimpush-Tsintsadze is Ukrainian MP and chair of the Committee of Ukraine's Integration into the European Union and is with us now. Ivana, good morning. Thank you for taking our call today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
What's your understanding of what you're hearing of a security guarantee being offered to Ukraine?
You know, from here, it's really vague, and we do not understand what does that entail, especially when it says that it's like NATO, but non-NATO. I don't understand why it couldn't be NATO then, if it's like NATO. So I think at this point, there is no real understanding also on the other side of Atlantic, in the United States, and also in many of the European capitals, what exactly those guarantees could be.
There is a history of Ukraine being offered security guarantees as far back as 1994, isn't that right?
Yes, and then everybody pointed out that those were not guarantees, but assurances, and definitely we don't want to get any similar piece of paper that would not shield us from the attack of the Russian Federation. And Russia was one of the guarantors at that point after Ukraine has given up its nuclear weapons in 1994.
Steve Witkoff is claiming this as a victory for the US. Why does the US need the permission of Russia to offer guarantees to Ukraine?
Well, that's a good question. I don't understand why Russia has a say in anything that concerns the next steps in the fate and development of Ukraine. Why would Ukrainian partners accept that Russia has a say in their decisions vis-a-vis Ukraine? And that's the good question. Why would the United States give up on the publicized policy of peace through strength, and now this strength is being seen as pressure exclusively on the victim?
Can European leaders guarantee the security of Ukraine or even offer it without the help of the US?
I think it would be very difficult to have it done without the United States of America, especially since European countries are not well prepared to actually even secure, guarantee their own security this matter. Maybe when they have their expenses really up to the challenge, and their military procurement also capable for defending themselves, I think that could be the point, but I don't think that they are there now.
And without US support, can Ukraine continue to hold the Russians off?
It would be very difficult, but that does not mean that we would not try to to protect ourselves and to defend ourselves and our fate and our future, and would just accept the capitulation. I don't think that the aggressor has to be or might be or could be rewarded as such, because otherwise that would only create additional appetite for the aggressor to attack more and more, and not only Ukraine.
Are you relieved in any way by what happened, or rather what didn't happen in Alaska over the on Friday?
Well, definitely. I think many exhaled here that there was not a finalized, done agreement between Russian Federation and the United States. But it seems that actually when we saw more content coming out of that meeting, that basically the United States have agreed to Russian vision of the so-called, and I underline so-called, end of the war and peace, because what Russia is suggesting, that will not lead to any sustainable and lasting peace, not to mention just one.
Can you explain what you mean by that? What's your understanding of what came out of that meeting?
Well, my understanding is that that Russia has clearly put out its own demands and its conditionalities for the end of the war, that the United States have given up their insistence on the ceasefire first and going into negotiations. And now the United States is going to actually suggest that Ukraine accepts the Russian conditionalities, which have not changed since the beginning of the full-scale invasion in 2022. So I don't understand what exactly is the win for the United States, because that is a weakness for the U.S. To cede to Russian conditions.
And remind us what those Russian conditions are.
Well, this is about Ukraine giving up the additional eastern parts of the territories in Donbass. This is about Ukraine giving the Russian language the official status, Ukraine giving up the NATO membership, Ukraine becoming neutral, Ukraine giving up all the territories that Russia has also occupied, recognition of those territories by the world being Russian territories. I think that this is all just totally unacceptable.
Are there any circumstances, including U.S. support, guarantees of U.S. support, increased U.S. support, where Ukraine is prepared to concede any territory or any people?
We have to remember that, thank you for actually asking territory or any people, because somehow everybody thinks that when we are talking about redrawing the lines on the border, that this is that the people that live there are going to go from one good country to another, normal country. But we are forgetting that people on the occupied territories are being killed, are being tortured, are being put to the prison, our children are being deported. And somehow all this is out of sight of all those negotiators. So I don't think that there is anybody in Ukraine who is ready to cede the territories.
Ivana Klimpush-Tsintsadze, Ukrainian MP and chair of the Committee of Ukraine's Integration into the European Union. Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. It's coming up to 22 minutes past 8.